right, welcome back to Omega Man Radio. I'm your host, Shannon Davis. It's an honor to have with us tonight Pastor Rick Bell, HeavenlyWarriors.com. Brother Rick, let's go till 8:15 your time. That'll give you a full hour.
Sounds good to me, brother. Whatever your time clock is, we'll make it fit.
It all works good. The Lord knew about it. My last show today, Brother Carlos said, I cannot come on at 11. It's got to be 11:15. Well, you know, this is perfect timing. We got our extra 15 minutes.
Doesn't God always works out that way, doesn't he?
He sure does. Well, my brother, it's great to have you back on. Yeah. We missed you. Glad to have you on tonight. You want to open it up in prayer?
I do. Father, thank you so much for bringing us back together. Thank you that the years have turned. We're in a new year with new promises and new hope from you. And Father God, I ask you just to bless this program tonight, this teaching, bless the hearers of this word, that they may not only be hearers, but they may be doers. Let them take something away from this teaching tonight, that they will be different than when they tuned in. And we just believe this to be done in Jesus' name, and we say amen.
Amen.
And you know, we were talking before the open that David Bowie had died, and for those of you who don't know who he was a pop star. I guess his heyday was the 70s and 80s. He was really popular, you know, and to see the media go on about him, how he was a genius and all of this stuff, and the tears, the late night TV hosts are crying. You know, I'm sorry, the man's, you know, dead. I don't want people to be dead without knowing Jesus, but it's kind of a picture of where our culture is and what we really value and what we esteem and what we don't have any value for. And in the last really few years, Shannon, and I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, but I've really just been starting to see mortality, and that is the futility of life, you know, and how you strive and you strive and you strive to gain material things, to get stuff, to be something, to be someone, to have a title. And then so quickly, it fades. It's gone. It's done. And you're, you know, an old person and pretty much at the end of your run. And what do you have to show for that? You know, my heyday, I guess you would say, would have been in the 80s and 90s when I was doing my prime. I was in my fighting career as a kickboxer, and I was happy, 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 as they say on Duck Dynasty. Had everything kind of going my way and into the 90s. And then I got into my business career, which tied into my kickboxing training. So, and that thing went on until, you know, 2008. And it seems like it, when I look back and, you know, it was in my prime, I looked different. I thought different. My life was a lot different. That seems like just a couple of months ago to me. It really does. Do you ever have those kinds of thoughts, Shannon, that things that really happened in your life maybe a decade or two ago seem like just, you know, they seem so close and familiar to you, you know, how quickly things move on. And it shows you we just have this limited time on this rock called the earth that's spinning out in the middle of space. And what are we going to do with that time? How are we going to invest that time? We live in a world that is lost. Everyone knows the world is a lost place, and we are basically strangers. We are vacationers in this lost land, and we are here on assignment for a season, for a while. And then suddenly, just like you said, that assignment's over and we're gone. And what have we done with that time? And as we move on, and certainly into the new year, as wickedness increases in the land and the world, and you see chaos reigning everywhere, and the wheels literally starting to come off, as we have, you know, been talking about now for a few years, the wheels were going to come off. The thing that is so disheartening is that there are so many Christians who don't have a clue what's going on, what's going to happen, or what to do about any of it. And here's the analogy the Lord gave me for this broadcast tonight. You know, he was just, of course, I've been praying, saying, well, God, now what do you want me to do? I've been off for a while, you know. So what do you want me to say? And you know, I wasn't hearing anything from him. And then all of a sudden, Sunday morning, he just began to do this download. You know how it goes. You know, a book of stuff just flows into me. And I think, oh, okay, well, that's what I'm going to teach. And here's the analogy he gave me, and this will relate to this. Do you ever watch football, Shannon? Are you much of a football fan at all?
I caught a little bit of one on TV.
Mm-hmm. So you know that the players are on the field, and there are coaches on the sidelines. But the decisions, the coaches who make the play calling, are up in something called the box, the press box, which is way up in the top of a football stadium. If you've ever been to a football stadium, even small high school football stadiums all have a press box where the press sits up there and they get the bird's eye view. And the coaches from each team, they are usually on opposite ends of the press box, so they can't hear each other what their plays calling is, but they are the ones who watch and see the action on the field, and then through the radio, with like a telephone communication, they call down to the coach on the sidelines what they are seeing, because they have the vantage point to know what really is going on. They can see where the defense is weak. They can see where there are opportunities for the offense to do something. So the coaches in the box have the advantage. The players on the field can't really see what's going on because they are just in the game. They're just doing the play that's called in. They are just fulfilling their assignment. If they're a lineman and they're going to block, they have a blocking assignment. They don't know how all the pieces of the puzzle fit together. They're just out there basically living play to play. The coaches in the box are able to see the developments, the things that are happening, the trends that are, the patterns that are emerging. And that's where the games are basically won and lost, from those coaches who are able to see what's going on from that view. The Lord was telling me that His people have been in the game on the field too long. We need to get in the coach's box and begin to make good decisions about our lives, rather than just being in each play and being tossed to and fro with the latest play that comes in. We need to start taking a longer look and stepping back and seeing the forces that are really controlling our lives, what's really going on with it. So the thing that I relate to, and I've always been someone who just sought reality in everything that I did. Maybe it's just the way I am. You know, if I were going to get into archery, say, I would want to get the best bow and the best arrows, and I would want to learn from the best archer that there was and all of the techniques. You can relate to that, Shannon. You possibly are the same way. And if you're going to do something, you want to do it right. You want to learn everything you can about it and do. Take it to the limit. You know, there was a song called Take It to the Limit. Well, that's kind of how my personality, for whatever reason, was. When I began to play guitar as a young boy, that's all I wanted to do was get really, really good on the guitar. But that's how my mind thought. If I was going to do it, I had to have the real thing. Coca-Cola had the commercial several years ago, Coke is the real thing. I always sought the real thing. When I got into, I told you I always wanted to box, and I got into martial arts training in a college PE class, and I knew when I got into martial arts, I said, this is the real thing. These guys, this is tough stuff. I know, because I was the recipient of a lot of that tough stuff, those punches and kicks. And you go through your little initiation thing. So as I grew up and learned how to be tough and do that kickboxing and fight and all of that, one of the things that I always gravitated toward was the real thing as far as the self-defense. I the thing I couldn't stand was to go to a martial arts training center or a kickboxing training center or a kung fu center or whatever and see them teaching some watered down, we called it Mac Karate, kind of like McDonald's. We called it Mac Karate because it was for the masses. And that always bothered me. And I always just didn't want to have anything to do with that. I wanted the real thing. If I was going to teach someone to defend themselves, I wanted the technique that I taught them to work. I didn't want to just show them some cool looking move that they could spin around three times, stand on one leg and do the crane. You know, that's not going to work. It looks good in the Karate Kid movie, but it's not going to work in your life. So I needed the real thing. I find myself at this time in life, you know, doing this ministry and called into deliverance. Once you begin to get this stuff, once the scales fall off your eyes, you're never the same, are you, Shannon?
No, sir. You can't go back to sleep, can you?
You can't go back. You can't. It's something like, this came to me not long ago, when you've seen something that really traumatizes you, you can't unsee that. When you've heard something that really bothers you, you can't unhear that. When you've got this Holy Spirit revelation of how this whole thing really works, that it's really spiritual warfare, that's really what everything, underline, everything is, then you can't go back. And you're going to always seek that. So here I am, this truth seeker, I would say. And you know the truth because the truth is going to set you free. When you get into this truth, you'll get free. If you're not into all of this truth, you're not going to be free. And I walked around for many years not being free because I just didn't know this stuff. I wanted the truth, but Satan is very clever at blocking and keeping you from the connections you need, the information you need. He'll put circumstances in your life. He'll put people in your life to do everything he can to delay God's plan, what he's trying to teach you. So I always wanted that truth. And the truth is, one third of what Jesus did as he walked this earth with his ministry, one third of that is completely ignored in the modern church. Not even mentioned, not even spoken about. If you mention deliverance, because that was one third of what Jesus did, you're ostracized. They will label you a kook, an extremist. You know, and that's kind of okay. It doesn't bother me what they think of me. What bothers me is the multitudes of people who are absolutely trapped in a demonic stronghold, and they don't even know it. They're living a life of quiet hell, basically, and don't realize that it's because of strongholds, doors that opened in their lives, possibly years ago, that have brought in these demonic attachments. You know it, Shannon. I know it. Several of the listeners know it that are listening to us right now. But there are millions out there who don't even believe in it. Don't have a clue. But they keep repeating this. They're in the game. Like I said, they're on the field playing. And they're in this game and they're getting the snot beat out of them every play. They're getting run over like a bulldozer every play, and they're just getting up and lining up to play again. When they need to step out of that game and get up in the coach's box and look at what's going on, look at the situation, look at the people in your life, look at your reactions and your behaviors. That's what you really have to look at, to get honest with yourself. Me, my personal thing that I didn't even know I struggled with, I had this need for approval, man. I had this need to make everyone like me. And it drove me through my life. And why was that? because there was a root of rejection in my life. I was born out of wedlock to a 16-year-old Catholic schoolgirl. I was given up for adoption. That planted a root of rejection. I came into that. That whole bastard child curse, I came under that. So that was planted in me, and I grew up not realizing why I had this need to overachieve at everything. It was not normal for a kid to be able to play a guitar like I did. This wasn't normal. I mean, I was gifted with a lot of musical talent, but I still had this tenacity to be able to do these things. And that thing carried with me through life. You and I have had conversations where you'll say, oh yeah, I need someone to do this, you know, edit a magazine. And I'll say, oh, I edit magazines. And you say, what? I say, yeah, that's one of the things I do. And the truth is, right, I do a lot of stuff. Man, I build websites. I edit magazines. Well, there's too many stuff to even go into. But the point of that is not, look, wow, how great what I do is. It's I'm driven to overachieve. Well, how did I get to be able to do all that stuff in life? I had to just want to do it so badly. Well, why? What was the driving factor? For me, it was a root of rejection. It was never feeling quite good enough. So I had to overcompensate in everything I did to be a super achiever. That was my demonic stronghold. And, you know, that thing stayed with me until I got into deliverance and began to realize, looking at the life pattern that I had, and I stepped out of the game on the field and said, it's time for me to go up to the coach's box and start looking at what's going on with my life. Start looking at the players that are in my life and how it what are the patterns in all this stuff. So when I began to do that, I began to see tendencies that I'd never seen before. I began to catch myself saying yes to something when I really didn't need to say yes to it. My plate was already full, but I had a need to say yes because I was getting my worth out of this person thinking, oh, he's what a great guy. Man, you're a great guy. And I go, oh, shucks, you know. And I really wouldn't feel like a great guy. I never felt like that, but I had this need for constant approval. Does that make sense to you, Shannon?
Absolutely. I think I've shared in some of that myself. Well, you know, the amazing part is God gave you perspective because you went up to the coach's box, didn't you?
I did. That's a good point. That's exactly what happened. And that's what I want to tell everyone tonight who's listening. You have to get, Shannon said the word, perspective. Your perspective has to change, or you are going to be in this game until the final buzzer goes off, and you may have won and you may have lost, but you're not going to even know until you get out of the game, pull yourself out of playing this day-to-day thing, get up in the coach's box and start saying, okay, I want to see the diagrams. I want to see the plays. I want to see the playbook. I want to see where all the players are, and I'm not going to get down back in that stuff. It's time for me to start coaching my life, to start figuring out what happened, what is happening, and then change direction, change trajectory, because this thing will just, it'll hang on to you for the rest of your life. This rejection thing, this overachiever thing that I mean, it still tries to come back. That's the point. Dude, here I am, deliverance minister, ministering to people, and God has been just amazing in what he's done for me and where he's led me and the ability to minister to total strangers and be able to have prophetic words about details of their life. But here I am with those things God's doing, and I'm still fighting this, you know, to not fall back into that root of rejection thing. That spirit of rejection will get its way back in. So I know if that's the case in my life and I know about it, then how many millions of other people, that thing is just having a heyday, whatever their thing is, whatever got a hold of them. And a lot of times it is that root of rejection, but it manifests itself in so many different ways. And you know, you can minister to people And the more you do this, the more you operate in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm, in the deliverance realm, the more your discernment increases. And you get to a place where, you know, you meet this person and within 37 seconds, you know exactly what the issue is and what they're struggling with. Now, they're going to, you know, tell you their story for the next 10 minutes through tears, but you already know what the root thing is. So you, as this deliverance minister, you're here and you're trying to figure out how to get in without this spirit just shutting them down and just, you know, taking them completely off and they check out of the deal. So you see that over and over and over, and you begin to know, because you're up in the coach's box now and you're looking down at everything. Your life used to just be whatever the next play was on the field. You just played in the thing. When you come out of the game and you get up in the coach's box and you start looking at all the rest of the players, then you know what's really going on. And the key to getting deliverance, I'm speaking to each individual now, the key to you, you are going to have to get deliverance and hold that deliverance. But the key to doing that is knowing what's really going on. What's really going on? You're going to have to begin to see things as they really are. Not what everyone will tell you they are or what they seem to be, but you're going to have to see things as they really are. Good example of that is in our wonderful political system with, let's just say, the Hillary Clinton issues with her email scandals. Last I checked, it's up to over 1,300 of her emails were classified. That's a fact. I mean, they have 1,300 of her emails that were classified. Now, she's on television Sunday saying that, "I never sent any classified emails. That is there. This is trumped up stuff over nothing." And you know, you almost believe her because she's very convincing. Because it's a different reality. But it's an absolute lie. Of course there are emails. There are 1,300 of them and counting. There are more that were classified. It is illegal. It is a felony to do that. But she says, "I never did that." And there are many, many people who will say, "She never did that. She said she didn't." And they will believe her because they're looking at what? The illusion. And you... We all live in a world that is full of illusionary vision. Things are not as they seem. You've got to be able to look behind the scenes and see what's really going on. So for each one of you, that's what I want you to take away tonight, is to come out of the game, get up in the coach's box, and begin to look down on the playing field and see the movements, see what's going on. You've got to start to see the plays developing. Let me say that again. You have to see the plays. On a football field, they have plays. There's a play, then that's over, then there's another play. Yeah, and I hope you guys, I'm not losing you with this football analogy, but football's pretty much everybody in America knows something about it. But there's one play at a time. So when you're in the coach's box, you can see the plays developing. In your life, you've got to learn to see the plays developing. You got to start to see the setups for the plays. You know, Satan will tip his hand. You'll see what's coming if you're not in the game and you're up in the coach's box and you're looking over things. If you're in the game, you're just a victim of that guy. He'll blindside you and you get whacked, not knocked down, knocked out. So you have to start to see the play developing. And when you begin to do that, when you pull yourself out of the game and you say, "Wait a minute. You know, I'm not on this treadmill anymore. I'm stepping off. I'm checking out, and I'm going to start seeing through discerning eyes, looking at the spiritual drivers behind all of this." Don't look at the people. Don't look at the flesh and blood, because you're not wrestling with flesh and blood. Your struggle is against spiritual powers, principalities. That's who you struggle with. And you have to begin to see how they are setting up the next play. Now, God's people, the same way, you can see the Holy Spirit setting things up. you just get that feeling sometimes the Holy Spirit is doing something here. And you can expect Satan's probably going to put all kind of roadblocks up to try to block it. But you know that you know God's onto something. And it may take a little while for that thing to get birthed, but when it does, you'll look back and say, oh my, my, now I understand. So we have to get off the field, get into the coach's box. When I first started teaching other people how to do self-defense, when I began to learn to do self-defense, the very first thing they taught me the first day I was in class was something called a stance. That's how you stand. That's where your feet go on the ground. And Shannon, you've trained in martial arts. You know how important your feet, the stance that you're in is.
That's right.
If the first time you played Little League baseball, if you ever played, they had to teach you how to stand in the batter's box. If your stance is not right, you will never hit the baseball. I don't care if it's, you know, underhand, slow pitch. If your stance is wrong, you're not going to be able to hit it, and certainly not with any power. Playing tennis, if your feet are not right, I never knew how hard it was to play tennis until I went out with a friend of mine and he had a college scholarship to Louisiana Tech to play tennis. And he invited me to the tennis court one day. I said, sure, we'll go knock a few balls around. Huh. I never even could move out of where my feet were on the pavement. This guy would hit the ball so fast, so hard. Shannon, I'm looking at it and it goes by and I can't move. And I had pretty good reflexes from doing all the karate training, but this guy would hit it so fast and so hard, my feet couldn't move. So if you notice the tennis, when you're watching the Wimbledon or something, the guys are on their toes bouncing around. It's the stance and how you stand. So the first thing when you have a boxer, the hardest thing for a boxer to get is the stance. Really, I had to relearn how I stood going from a long karate stance, and you know what that is, it's a long stance, to a boxer's stance as your feet are under you all the time and you're bouncing around, you're moving. If your feet get out of position, you will not be able to avoid a punch, and then the most important thing, you will have no power in your punch. If your feet are not correct under you, you get no power. You can't get leverage unless your feet are in the right position. If you've ever tried to push a car that has run out of gas, imagine yourself behind the car and your hands are on the car and you're facing it and you're beginning to try to push it. You would have 1 foot in front and 1 foot behind to get leverage. You know what I'm saying? If both of your feet were even, you couldn't move the car. You see what I'm saying? You have to have 1 foot behind you. Imagine that in your mind to begin to push. So the foundation is the most, if you don't get the foundation in any sport, forget it. The rest of it's not going to matter. You can learn all the fancy handwork and upper body movements you want, but if the stance isn't right, it's not going to work for you. Well, when you come to the Lord, in what I've come to believe, Shannon, the stance, the footwork of Christianity is deliverance. The very foundation of Christian faith is deliverance.
That's right.
That's the foundation. That is who we are wrestling with. That is why Jesus spent a third of his ministry doing it. That's why that's the first thing he told us we were going to do. And Mark, when he was telling the disciples, in my name, you're going to cast out demons. Why in the world would he say that? Because he knew in 2016 we were going to be saying, that's ancient, that passed away, that's old school stuff, that's not happening anymore. No, because it's the foundation of Christianity. This is so important. I keep hammering on this because I'm a guy that seeks the real thing, man, and I've seen what it really is from the coach's box. Without teaching on deliverance, none of the other stuff is going to have long-lasting effect in your life where it will work. And that's just the truth. Because your foundation is not right. Your stance is not right. If you don't understand how demons operate, how they got into your life, you'll never get them out. And they have open rein on you, your family, your environment, your finances. And folks, this stuff doesn't get fixed in a day, okay? This is a lifelong... I know you want to think, man, if I can just get to that deliverance minister, if I can just get him to pray for me, if I can just get him to lay hands on me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, they cast out 17 demons. Thank God I'm good to go now. Well, guess what? Next week, those 17 are going to be knock, knock, knocking on your door. And unless there's some behavioral lifestyle changes, they're going to find a way to get back in. It may not be next week, maybe next month.
That's right.
But demons are patient. They will little by little wear you down. And if you don't know this stuff we're talking about, you're not going to recognize when they are beginning to get a foothold. You have to be totally diligent in fighting these things. That it's not a one-time fix. Everyone wants to get deliverance and then they're good to go. No, you're going to have to walk in deliverance. You're going to have to self-deliver. You've got to have this foundation to be able to fight. Without a foundation, I don't care who you are. You can put the heavyweight champion of the world in there with me at my age and the way I'm out of shape for fighting, and I'll knock them out if they don't have their stance right. That's just the way it works. The hardest I ever got hit in my whole fighting career was by a 12-year-old girl in my karate class. She was one of my little black belts. You know, she'd been with me a while, but she knew how to get leverage and get her stance right. And I was teaching class one night, and there were 30 kids in the class, you know how it is. And we had a physical karate class. We didn't do any of that Eastern mysticism crap, any of that. We just wanted to kick and punch. So I'm in, you know, teaching the class, and I'm distracted because I'm watching the other kids make sure they're okay and no one's, you know, getting hurt. So I'm sparring a kid, you know, she's 12. So I'm kind of sparring her with one eye over on what's happening, you know, to the side of me. Well, I happen to look over and she catches me with a straight right hand and she drops me. I mean, 12-year-old girl, boom, right on the chin because she had her stance right. Now, typically a 12-year-old can't get that kind of power. But Shannon, when you have your stance right and you shift that leverage, you can deliver some what I call juice. There's some juice in that punch. So that's she hit me harder. I mean, she gave me a concussion, man. And the kids laughed. They thought it was funny. You know, it wasn't that funny to me, but I was a good sport about it. You know, it was my fault because I did what I tell them never to do. I teach to always pay attention, especially when you have an opponent. You have to watch what's going on. Don't ever take your eyes off of them. Well, hello, I did. And that's the hardest I ever got hit, simply because she knew how to get leverage in a punch. Because she had the foundation. From day one, I taught her how to get her feet right, how to have that power base. We as Christians don't have a foundation if we're not learning about deliverance. Every Sunday, there should be something taught about deliverance and demons and the supernatural and all this stuff, because it is exploding around us. These television shows are exploding around us with supernatural stuff. It is ramping up. It is increasing. It is going off the charts. I don't know if you watch any of them, but I told you when I got into deliverance, God told me start watching those things. That's going to be part of what you minister to people. You got to see what the devil's doing out there. Well, Shannon, stuff is flying around. They've got it on video now. I mean, video cameras are everywhere. We live in a video world. They've got stuff moving, flying, books flying. There's no strings or wires or magician stuff going on. This is supernatural happening on camera, and it's exploding. It's all around us, but you can't find a pastor that's going to teach you any of this stuff. Number one, because they don't know anything. They don't know anything, the average pastor, when it comes to dealing with supernatural and demonic. Number one, they don't want to really talk about it because they don't want to run any of their church members off. The second is they don't know what to say. I mean, they'll read basically kind of what the Bible says, but they'll leave some of it out, because if they take in teach the full scripture, then it calls them into accountability because they've not been fulfilling that. So you have these people that are sitting in churches around America, and here's the truth of it. When I was 6 years old, I was put in Catholic school. That was a stipulation of my adoption. I was adopted through the Catholic Church. They placed me, and the only stipulation they had, I had to be adopted by Catholic parents, and I had to attend Catholic school. Had to, not optional. So I'm in the first grade in Catholic school, St. Joseph's Catholic School, Marshall, Texas, 1965. I'm in the first grade. The nuns were the teachers, and they had these scary-looking black dresses with this white thing on their head that was real scary to me as a kid. They kind of looked like angry penguins to me. And that's just how a six-year-old's mind works. And I was afraid of them until I saw a new television show that came out around that time called The Flying Nun. When I saw Sally Field in The Flying Nun, I thought, okay, nuns are good. I saw her flying around. I thought, that's cool. I wonder if any of my nuns can fly. So I'm in the first grade at St. Joseph's Catholic School. And I really didn't like it, you know, because I was having to learn things. I was having to read these things called letters and words, like see, spot, run. But one thing I did like about it was coloring. We got to color stuff. And I liked to color. I liked to, you know, color with different wild-looking colors, and I would just sit there and do that all day. I liked to color, and I kind of liked to cut things out with those little round-nosed scissors that you had. So the coloring stuff was cool. And then the next year, I went to the second grade. I was still at the Catholic school. But they had a deal where every other year you were under a Catholic teacher. So my first grade year, it was a Catholic nun that taught me. Second grade year was a lay teacher, a non-nun who taught me. The third grade, I was going back to the Catholic school, but the Catholic school closed. And that was a happy day for me because I went from the Catholic school to the public schools. And there were a lot more cool kids in the public school, all right? So I'm a third grader, and this is really cool. So I went from St. Joseph's Catholic School over to William B. Travis. He's a Texas hero. Elementary school. So that was a good thing for me, but I was in the first grade. Then I went to the second grade. Then I went to the third grade, and I was having to learn new stuff every grade I went. Fourth grade got hard because we got into science. Then I remember the fifth grade. We started getting into math and stuff, and I didn't like all that stuff, but I had to do it because that's what school was. I would have liked to have stayed where I could just color. You know what I'm saying? I liked that first grade coloring stuff. And I got that see, spot, run stuff down. I got those little books that you read that were 7-page books that had huge letters. And we had something called a Big Chief tablet in those days and a big pencil that we wrote on. I got to where I could do that stuff. So by the time I was in high school, I was doing a whole lot more stuff than I was doing at St. Joseph's Catholic first grade class. But if I went back to St. Joseph's first grade Catholic class to color, and I was in high school, I would think, man, I'm a little bit beyond this. You know, it was fun while I was here. I liked coloring, but I've kind of grown past this. I know a lot more stuff than this. Shannon, that's how I feel when I go to churches these days.
It's the truth.
That is how I feel. And I mean churches that I would have really thought were cool places, man, just a few years ago. Shannon, it's just like going back to the first grade and coloring as a high school senior. And I'm sitting in these churches and I'm thinking, man, I want to get into this. I really, something must be wrong with me. I want to get into this, but I'm that high school senior in the first grade. I look over at my wife. She cuts her eyes at me and she says, is this as boring to you as it is to me? Now, Shannon, a few years ago, we would have been in there, you know, jumping up, raising our hands, doing that whole thing. But something's changed because we've moved out of the first grade. We've learned some things, man. We're not in the first grade anymore. But the church world, because let me tell you, I liked the first grade. After that first year, when I went to the second grade, I would have gone back to the first grade if you would let me. But that was called failing or being held back, and that was not acceptable. I had to go to the second grade. I didn't want to. Our churches are full of first graders with first grade teachers teaching them. I have a good friend who's a first grade school teacher. The way she talks to the first graders is vastly different than my other friend who's a high school history teacher. Their approach to teaching is vastly different. First grade teachers are conditioned and trained to teach, guess what? First graders. It's called elementary education. You know, they specialize in age groups.
Right.
The churches are full of first graders with pastors who are first grade teachers. Because in honesty, the pastors don't know anything to teach. They're doing the same stuff we did in the 90s. Nothing's grown since then. Nothing's moved forward. The same stuff. And it used to be, I was happy doing that. But once you get the truth, that's what I'm talking about. And we're not alone, Shannon. There are people around the world who are like you and I who just had the wake-up call. We were in that stuff. Mister, you grew up in it. You grew up in it. You had a legacy of parents, grandparents, pastor, you know, in the whole church system thing. You're no stranger to it. You've seen it all, done it all. I have a real good friend who, her father-in-law, her mother-in-law was a big church lady, Assembly of God lady, and her father-in-law, the mother-in-law would try to drag him to church every Sunday, and he'd say, I have no desire to go. He said, I've already heard all that stuff. He was right. He had heard that pastor and that sermon and those sermons. When you've been around it for 20 years, you know, that's kind of the truth, if you want to face it. You've heard all that stuff. It's just the same stuff with a different story attached to it. As long as you're not getting the spiritual warfare and how to change and break the pattern that you're locked into, nothing's going to change. You're still going to be in the game, getting your teeth kicked in, without any kind of foundation, because the foundation is not being taught in the churches. And you say, well, you know, Brother Rick, why are you so on this whole deal about the churches? I don't know. I don't want to be on it. But when God gets you on something, you just can't get off of it. And he's had me on this thing now for going on 2 years that the church is probably, Shannon, correct me if I'm wrong, the church is probably the greatest barrier to God's people getting deliverance of anything we face.
It's true.
The church, that is what blocks people from realizing, number one, that they've got a problem. They don't realize that anything's wrong because they've lived this way for so many years. It's normal to them. It's become, if it changed, it would be abnormal. And they believe, they've been taught that deliverance, all it takes for deliverance is to say, in Jesus' name, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. And they walk around with these confessions all day long, you know, well, oh, I can't say that. That's a negative confession and all that. And I'm thinking, dude, you got so much bondage in your life like now, right now. One, you know, negative or positive confession's not going to break anything off you. It hadn't worked to this point.
That's right.
It has not worked up to now. I'm that reality guy. I got to see the fruit of it. You can talk a good game and you can tell me, well, this is this is the way it's supposed to be, and God told me this and that. No, God didn't tell you that because it didn't happen. It didn't work that way. You don't know who's telling you what because your fruit is not right. You know, your fruit is not right. So without that basic understanding of the foundation is deliverance, that's where it starts. A lot of you listening to me probably don't know a lot about deliverance. I didn't know anything about it. But I'm here to tell you, before I began boxing, I didn't know anything about boxing. I thought I did. Some of you know my story about the first time I ever boxed was at the Golden Gloves gym at the YMCA in Texarkana, Texas. And there was a little skinny kid named Johnny. He was a 12-year-old kid. Well, I have a trouble with 12-year-olds. But I thought I knew how to box because I had seen the Rocky movie. I'm telling you the truth, man. I had seen the Rocky movie, and I thought I knew how to box because I'd watched it several times. And I'd kind of been training myself. I went to the YMCA, and this 12-year-old Golden Gloves boxing kid, you know, with these big boxing gloves on and the headgear that you wear, I got in the ring with him and for 3 minutes, and this kid beat the snot out of me. And I kind of limped out of there and ran to get in my little truck and get away as fast as I could to run from this killer. Because I didn't know, man. I thought I knew. I thought I knew something until I got into the fight. And that's what's happening right now with people who are serious. They love the Lord. It's not that they, you know, they're not seeking him, but Satan's got them in the pocket. He's got them where he wants them. Sitting in a dead church, and let me tell you, if your church is not teaching about deliverance every Sunday, dude, I mean, if that's not an underpinning foundation of it, and I'm not saying every sermon has to be about deliverance, but I'm saying it has to be a foundation. It can't be something that, yeah, we believe in it, but we never talk about it. It's kind of like, you know, going to the football game and saying, yeah, we believe in passing at practice, but we never do it. We never talk about it. We'll just try it in the game, see if that works. No, it has to be a foundational thing, a tenet, if you will, of everything that you do. So if you're at a church that's not moving in deliverance, it's a dead church. I'm sorry, it is. I don't care how great the praise and worship and how many choruses of the song they sing. You know, they may set the Guinness Book of World Records with 479 choruses of the same song and the same two guitar chords, whatever. It doesn't, you know, that's what we've come to accept as an anointed thing. Man, wasn't that a service? Wasn't the anointing just awesome? Well, sometimes the anointing is there, you know, in that, but a lot of times it's not. It's just a band playing 48 choruses of a song over and over and over and over, and there's no anointing there. But the people think that that's what they're used to. That's what they call the anointing. That's what they've come to believe is the anointing. But Shannon, the anointing comes when the demons flee, brother.
That's right. Amen.
That's when the anointing comes, when you really get free, when the demons are no longer in control of that service. And let me say this, listen to me, everyone. If spiritual warfare is not being taught in that church, demons are in charge of the church.
That's right.
That's just the fact. I don't care how you slice it, how you explain it away, what kind of denial you have. If spiritual warfare and deliverance is not being taught or exercised in that church, demons are running it. Demons are in charge of it. because they don't care what else you do. They don't care how long your praise service is. They don't care how much your tithe is. They don't care. That's all man-made stuff that makes us feel like we're close to God. Man, God's got us. God has got his hand on us. No, really, Satan's got his hand on you. And God just breaks through every once in a while with a miracle for you. That's really what it is. You're living in bondage, but you just get a breakthrough every once in a while of the miraculous miracle. Then you go back to the bondage. And that's reality. Dude, I've lived it. I've been it.
It's true.
It is. It's sad, but it's the truth. So the point of all of this is we've got to understand the game. There's a game, and we got to see it from the coach's box from now on. We got to pull ourselves out of that game and start to see that there's a strategy happening, and it's happening to us. So we have to extract ourselves from being a victim of that strategy, and we have to go up and start to control the strategy that's going on. And you're going to perish for a lack of knowledge when you don't have a foundation of what's really going on around you. And probably the least effective thing that you're doing in your life is being involved and going to a church that's not involved in spiritual warfare or teaching deliverance. You're just basically where Satan is. He's happy to have you there, because like I said, as long as there's no deliverance, there's no freedom. I don't care how many choruses and you sing music for 2 hours. That doesn't matter. What matters is, are the people walking out of there in the same bondage that they walked in? They bring their demons to church. Are they going home with the same demons? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Not how many Starbucks lattes you can sell for the missions trip each Sunday morning. You know, none of that stuff. That's all that feel-good coloring book in the first grade stuff. If you give students a choice, most of them would like to stay in the first grade. If you ask a bunch of first graders, if you really love Miss Jones, your teacher, at the end of the year, they'll say, yes. If you said, would you like to stay with Miss Jones next year? They'll say, yes. And they'd stay right there in the first grade and do the coloring all over again. And here's the reality, Shannon. If they grew up, never, listen to me, brother. If they grew up never knowing there was such a thing as the second grade, if the first grade was all they ever knew existed, they would be 18-year-old first graders and think, okay, I'm okay. I know what I need to know. Because they had never been exposed to anything else. They'd never gone to the second grade or the third or the fourth, fifth, high school, college. You understand what I'm saying about this?
Absolutely.
It is crucial that we realize I'm in the same category, dude. We have been in the first grade in this church system. My goodness, I get more church friends mad at me when I start talking about this. They get downright mad. But Shannon, fruit, F-R-U-I-T, fruit. Look at the fruit. The people there are praying for miracles, but they typically come back the same they were last week. They come back the same way because the demonic strongholds are never attached. And when you tell them, man, there's a demonic stronghold, they look at you like you got three heads and you are green. They're like, what? Are you kidding? And the very basic things that you and I more or less take for granted that we learned a long time ago in this spiritual warfare, you just drop one of those nuggets of wisdom on someone who hadn't had it, and they're like, what? Man, that's revelatory. That'll change their life. I was having a conversation with a minister not long ago. Good guy. I mean, involved in street ministry, hard working, good guy, loves the Lord, be on his face down there, worshiping, you know, in the for hours and all that in the church service, and just doing all he knows to do. And he commented on something. I said, "Well, brother, that's a spiritual stronghold." He said, "What?" And I began to talk to him for the next 5 minutes over just conversations like you would have, you and I would have in passing. Just not a big deal. Just a little, see, that's a stronghold. This guy said, "You got to be kidding. I never understood that. That makes complete sense to me." He said, "Dude, you've just changed my whole world." He said, "I've gone my whole life wondering why that was that way. And you just explained it." I said, yeah, it's because you don't want to make a big deal out of somebody and say, "Yeah, you dummy. Why didn't you get that?" So I'm just saying, well, that's great, man. I'm glad you got blessed with that. And I wanted to, you know, not just linger on it. But this was a revelation. This man somehow, and Shannon, he's a minister. He's in church 4 times a week, 5 times, 6 times a week. Ministering to people, but he had never heard this, and it was first grade. Actually, it's probably second or third grade stuff I was telling him. But because he's been in the first grade all this time, he's still coloring. He's still got the big chief tablet and the big number 4 crayons or whatever they are. I always wanted the big box of crayons that had the sharpener built in the box. Did you ever see one of those?
Yeah, those were cool.
Those were the cool ones. I always wanted the big box, but Mama never would get me the big box because she said that I would eat my crayons from time to time.
Don't feel bad. I didn't get one of those either. I had the little small.
She was afraid I was going to eat the crayons because I thought, coming up. I would nibble on them because I thought they tasted kind of good. So I always got the small box. She said, "You'll just lose them anyway." But the church is still coloring, brother. They're still in the first grade and they're coloring.
Yes, they are.
So if you're a part of that, and many of you listening to this right now around the world, are in that situation, man, I'm not slamming any church, anybody. I'm trying to save your life. I'm trying to give you a foundation. I'm trying to wake you up. You've just stepped into the gym, the self-defense gym, and I'm telling you the truth. What you've been learning is going to get you hurt. I'll say it again. What you have been learning will get you hurt. You don't know how to defend yourself. You're going to have to learn. You have to step off the playing field, get up in the press box, listen to what the Holy Spirit's going to start to reveal to you. See, he'll tell you what's wrong with you. You just have to have ears to hear. And you've got to be willing to take a hard look at your life patterns. Look at your life patterns. They won't lie to you. My life patterns cannot lie to me. They are what they are. They are fruit. You see, whatever seeds you plant, you're going to get that fruit. Good or bad. And you have to get down to what the root of the fruit is. Get the root out or the fruit will come back. You ever try to cut weeds when, you know, your front yard and you've got your lawnmower and you're cutting weeds down and they grow faster than the grass? I never understood that. You can cut your grass, but then the weeds will be up higher than the grass in 2 days. So the only way to get that weed out is how? You have to pull it out of the root. That's what you have to do as a Christian, is start to take a look at your patterns. What have I done? Have I had a string of failed relationships? Have I had a pattern of job loss? Have I had a pattern of getting depressed and cycling? Have I had a pattern of surrounding myself with people who needed fixing? Hello? Have I surrounded myself with people who were dysfunctional? Have I surrounded myself with angry people, people who had anger issues, and I just stayed with them? If you start to look at your patterns, you will start to see spiritual drivers behind everything. Everything that happens to you comes from the coach's box. See, somebody's up there calling the plays, and if it's not you, it's going to be the opposing team, and you're just a victim of the plays they're calling. So you've got to go up there and take control of your life. That making sense to you, man?
This is a right now word tonight. Right on, home run for Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We have been live with Pastor Rick Bell. Brother Rick, what shall we title this for the archive tonight?
I tell you what, let's call this Get Off the Playing Field and Get in the Holy Ghost Coaching Box.
Awesome. Pastor Rick, I want you to give out your website. Tell people about your ministry and radio program and how they can support it, please.
Absolutely. My website is heavenlywarriors.com, H-E-A-V-E-N-L-Y, warriors, W-A-R-R-I-O-R-S.com. There's a little PayPal button right there on the front of it that it's greatly appreciated if you feel led to you know, any kind of support helps. You can reach me by, right there on the website, there's an email connection, but you can also reach me by emailing me at Rick, R-I-C-K, at heavenlywarriors.com. That's Rick at heavenlywarriors.com. And I'd love to hear from you guys. If this is blessing you, then tell a friend. It'll be in the archives with, the Omega Man stuff on SoundCloud, isn't it, Shannon?
Yes, sure. In fact, good news, folks. We're caught back up on Blog Talk Radio, and SoundCloud is current as of tonight. So you'll be able to get this one in the archives. And Brother Rick, if someone would like to email you, what's the best way to do that?
Best way to do that is get me at Rick at heavenlywarriors.com, Rick at heavenlywarriors.com. And you can also subscribe to my podcast. This broadcast will be on my podcast too. You can do that anywhere from iTunes or any kind of podcast player you have. Just do a search for Heavenly Warriors and it'll pop up and you can just subscribe to it. And then every time a new episode is up there, it'll notify you and you'll be able to go out and retrieve those. And it's free. Nothing that doesn't cost anything to do.
Praise the Lord. My brother, we love and appreciate you. Excellent word tonight. And we'll see you next time.
Yes, you will. Praise God. God bless you, Shannon.
Folks, if you're coming in late, you do want to get this one in the archives.